Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
It is coming to America. The liberal left in this nation is hell-bent on destroying anything that is American. And yes, my friends, they are coming after you. Growing up, I always heard the term for America that she is too big to destroy. But mark my words, she is not. Even the USSR was brought down, and it is much bigger than America. You say that Russia is still around, but it changed. Right now, Putin is trying his best to bring back the USSR. But it is not an easy thing to do. He probably has a better chance of bringing back the USSR than we would have if America failed. Why? Because of discipline. We don't have it. They do. freedomisgroovy.com, the website that I heard first about on Vince's show this last week, there was an article that said the closing of the American journalist mind, and it's from freedomisgroovy.com. When I was growing up, journalism was based on the five W's: who, when, where, and why. So when a particularly egregious crime was committed, newspapers and television news matter-of-factly included descriptions of the bad guy. Something you don't hear today. Things like, the shooter is described as a black male in his 20s. 5'9", 160 pounds. Or, the rapist is described as a white male in his 40s, 6 foot tall, 200 pounds. Or, the kidnapper is described as a Hispanic male in his 30s, 5'8", 140 pounds. But all that is out the window today. Sticking to the five W's today would blow a gaping hole in the blacks are oppressed narrative that our woke overlords are so committed to. Here are four ways our woke overlords have sacrificed journalistic integrity. And I'm opening up the chat room right now. here are the four ways that our woke overlords have sacrificed journalistic integrity in order to protect the narrative. One, it's taboo to state the race of the suspect. Even when journalists have video of the crime and the race of the suspect is patently obvious, they won't dare make a note of the suspect's race. But when a police officer shoots a black person and the police officer is white, they can't refer to the officer's race enough. Two, if the suspect of a heinous crime is black, and the motive is unclear, the default explanation for his or her actions is either mental health or poverty. It's never hip-hop culture. It's never racism. It's never the anti-America and anti-white rhetoric being voiced by our woke overlords on a daily basis. Three, when the police shoot someone under questionable circumstances, do our vaunted journalists ever refer to the epidemic of gun violence? No. They don't give a agency to an inanimate object. If the police use their guns irresponsibly or maliciously, our vaunted journalists have no problem shouting police brutality. But when it comes to civilian brutality, our vaunted journalists never hold civilians accountable. It's always the gun's fault. Guns are just running around and jumping into people's hands and going off. Four, also, whenever there's a police shooting, do our vaunted journalists ever refer to the incident as a traffic stop gone wrong or an arrest gone wrong? No, they don't. And for good reason. Police don't have a license to shoot someone just because that someone deviated slightly from some script that everyone supposedly knows. But our vaunted journalists have no problem describing an everyday murder as a robbery gone wrong or a home invasion gone wrong. Apparently, in the civilian world, victims have to abide by a well-known script, and if they deviate ever so slightly from it, they move too slow or make eye contact with the criminal has no choice but to shoot. So it's really not the criminal's fault that the victim winds up in the hospital or in a grave. Now to what is going on in America today. And this is also still from Freedom is Groovy. Mrs. Groovy and I typically end our incredibly hectic and productive day by watching something frivolous on Tubi. On most nights, it's Eight is Enough. But sometimes we stray from the kooky mayhem of the Bradfords and watch either One Day at a Time or Gilligan's Island. And every time we watch Gilligan's Island, I marvel at the stupidity of the castaways. One castaway, Gilligan, is a complete screw-up. In every episode, he single-handedly stops the castaways from being rescued. Yet, despite this unblemished record of ineptitude, the other castaways continue to give him a pivotal role in whatever escape plan they conceive. Now a question. Does this dynamic, a group of seemingly intelligent people continually putting their fate in the hands of a single boob, remind you of anything currently happening in the United States? Call me nuts, but I can't help but look at our government and see Gilligan. I can't help but look at our voters and see the rest of the castaways. Our government, regardless of level, is a bastion of ineptitude, and our voters are a bastion of delusion. They keep asking for a total screw-up to rescue them. And there are numerous examples of castaway syndrome. Ask Americans what they think of government, and you won't get a lot of thumbs up. Americans know the government sucks the big one. But despite having an intimate knowledge of the government's penchant for ineptitude, far too many Americans still look to the government to solve their problems. Here are just some of the additional responsibilities castaways Americans want to foist on the government. Sorry in advance for the snarky comments. 1. Universal child care. Why do all these strong and powerful women need the government to look after their kids? 2. Medicare for all. Hey, education for all made everyone educated. I'm sure Medicare for all will make everyone healthy, huh? Affordable housing. Yes, public housing is the answer. Federal and state governments have no doubt learned their lessons from the failures of the Cabrini-Green and other disastrous housing projects. Need I say more? UBI. What could go wrong with the government paying people to do nothing? Restorative justice. Protecting the peace without arresting and incarcerating criminals is surely something the government will be able to pull off. The elimination of food deserts and food insecurity. Food deserts are largely the result of civility deserts, and food insecurity is largely the result of people procreating irresponsibly. I'm sure the government will figure this out and do an exemplary job of mitigating those root causes. The elimination of hate speech. Not sure how this squares with the First Amendment, but the government will figure it out. The elimination of white supremacy. I don't know any whites of note who are clamoring for pro-white, anti-POC Jim Crow, but our woke media assures us that they're all over the place, and I'm sure the government will find them and get their heads straight. Reparations. Yes, the government is rewarding people who were never slaves and punishing people who were never slave owners. This is bound to usher in the greatest era of brotherly love the world has ever seen. And now for final thoughts. There are a group of men in the manosphere who have given up on the dating world completely. They go by the acronym MGTOW, pronounced MGTOW, which stands for Men Going Their Own Way. I'm not an advocate of MGTOW. There are still plenty of reasonable women out there, and any man who makes a concerted effort to improve himself and succeeds will get a favorable response from many of those women. I am, however, a supreme advocate of VGTOW, voters going their own way. It doesn't matter who you vote for. You can vote for all the fiscal and common sense conservatives you want. Our government will never be anything but Gilligan, and our voters will never be anything but the rest of the castaways. The rot is that deep. Our politicians have been groomed to think they can solve any problem while still providing all the welfare and privilege that the donor class demands, while still genuflecting before the holy trinity of diversity, equity, and inclusion. Our voters have been groomed to sneer at rugged individualism and worship socialism. If you put your faith in the government, you will lose. The only way to win is to go your own way, to take extreme responsibility for your life. It won't always be fun or necessarily fruitful, but the odds are of you saving yourself from whatever ails you are a lot better than the government saving you. Do you really think that America is being led the way it should be? I know I don't. Under Trump, Putin wouldn't do anything because he didn't know what Trump would do. With Biden, he knows exactly what Biden will do. Nothing. Welcome to the show for this, the 16th day of June in the year of our Lord, 2023.
But what we saw in that Senate today was a cowardly group of Republicans who apparently have no option to do.
Show me where it says that protest is supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Tell something about your dad's immigration practices.
When they go low, he can...
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
The biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right on to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. But even if you lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. You would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. If I said we're in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
It's amazing how people try to frame everything racially and how they create divisions among our society.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Welcome to hour number one of NWCR Radio with your host, Robert Garding. This is Duke Brooks of Radio Free Delmarva from 92.7 WGMD, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. And I'm proud to introduce my friend Robert as we fight to protect the America we know and love. Through the silver microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world, you're listening to NWCR Radio, broadcast through the CNM network in Albuquerque, New Mexico, from our Freedom Studio. And now, here's Robert.
Last night on the Eric Bolling show on Newsmax, I found a thing that I really wanted to get a copy of for this show, but since the other week, none of my stuff is working on this, so I will try this a different way, and I will put it close, the microphone close to the thing, and see if I can get this to turn out. Hopefully it does. That hopefully worked, but I had to play that because it is so true. We have a two-tiered system in the United States here. One is for the Democrats, the liberals, the socialists in our government. The other one is for conservatives. One will do everything they can for who they are there for. The other one will do everything they can to put down the other. And I don't have to tell you which one it is. And I got a phone call from, hello there, Joe.
Hey, Bobby. How you doing?
I'm doing good. It seems like doing two shows in 1 week, one on Monday and one on Friday, kind of I thought would be a little bit difficult, but there's so much news out there that it was easy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And besides, you know, yeah, it's difficult. See, if I'm hosting, I would like to host twice a week instead of once a week, but I would give that up, last week as well. The thing is that if you have a show for 2 hours each show, that's 4 hours that you got to put in. If somebody calls in and you want to go into the archive hour, that's a lot mm-hmm. of time. So that's yeah. why I like to have one-hour shows with just the hour archive. And then if I were to choose to do two shows a week, then it's only 4 hours max, you know, if that.
Yeah. Well, there
you
for
know.
A
oh,
while
by the way,
I was there, there
by the
for
way,
a
Bob,
while I was actually doing two shows a week. I think I was doing one on Tuesday and one on Friday or Saturday, one of the two.
Yeah. Before I called in, I drove by to see what you were talking about. I didn't hear anything come over the airwaves. So let me check again. I'm going to put myself on mute. I'm going to check.
Okay. Well, hopefully he heard something because I was kind of going by the doing something that I hadn't done before.
Yep, you're coming across now. Okay.
Oh, good. Hopefully what I just played from Eric Bolling last night came through too. I'm still having problems recording stuff on my computer so I can play it as an audio file. So I went and took it right straight from his show and put the microphone by the speaker. So I'm hoping that
yeah.
worked.
That's how I do it. I mean, that's how I did it when I was hosting. I didn't bother yeah. with, with mixes or anything like that. I just took a file and played it on my PC and put my phone up to it and, turned off the speaker. I couldn't hear it because there'd be feedback, but then
yeah.
turned off the speaker and, and let it rip. So, it probably went across the air as long as, you didn't have feedback. And if you did, you would have turned off your speaker and then would have gone across the air anyway. So
yeah. Well, that was because I've always, with having my Mac, I've got the GarageBand, and I've always been able to just go ahead and play the things and then record them through there. But my microphone will not connect to it now, so I'm not sure what's going on with that one, but it's still not doing it.
Hmm. Well, it's probably the Mac system files, because the more that you use your computer and you don't refresh the system files and go back to a former time, then the more likely that the system files will mess up the registry, which I'm assuming that Mac has, and mess up your whatever particular whatever issues that you have on the Mac is probably caused by that.
Yeah, well, over this last week, I've deleted so much off of this computer that I've probably got half the hard drive again.
Yeah.
Hopefully,
but that wouldn't help. That wouldn't help you with the communications, though.
Yeah.
Even if your hard drive was empty or full, it wasn't going to matter. It's the system files, and the registry. So that's what always does it. Unless you have a virus, and I doubt if you have a virus. So.
Well, I've had that checked, and I don't have one. So that's a good thing.
But did you take it to a shop, or how'd you check it?
Yes, I took it over to a shop that's just down the street, and they checked it for me. And he said, you don't have a virus. Okay, fine, good.
Go ahead. Oh, yeah? Speaking about viruses, there was a virus that was popping up on my cell phone, right? So every time I was closing out a website, I got this GUI, this dialog box that was telling me that I had a problem, that I had a virus, but it wouldn't go away. So the GUI, the dialog box, was remaining there until I hit the middle button. Here's the funny part. I had a virus detection software, so I ran it. I ran it, and it detected what the cause was of this particular virus. It was located in two other softwares that were supposed to protect you against viruses. It was like it was an AVG and it was in a VAST. Those are two very well known free antivirus software packages, and they were the ones who were delivering the virus.
Yeah, I used to have AVG on my computer. I have one other, but I don't have them on there anymore. Because I had to, essentially what I did was my hard drive crashed on me. And I had one of the old ones with the little disk in it. And I put in a solid state one. And the problem with it is it separated itself into two hard drives that are 250 gigabytes apiece. And I can't get them to come together to
really?
Make my 500 gigabytes. So that's where my problem's coming in right now. But it's showing.
Did it do that automatically? How did it do that?
It did it automatically. I don't think I did it because I don't have that kind of knowledge. But I'm thinking of taking it back over to that shop that I took it over to and see if they can put it together for me so that it's not two separate pieces, and then I have a full 500 gigabytes.
Yeah, you know what it sounds like to me? I don't have a Mac, but I'm guessing is that as you were messing around with your hard drive, you either checked or unchecked some features, and by doing so, then the Mac split it up into two drives, because ordinarily you're not supposed to do that. When you get a hard drive, and it's whatever the space is, if it's a terabyte, 250, et cetera, then it's supposed to remain like that. But you can divide it up if you click off the right boxes. So
I may have partitioned it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
So,
and I don't know about the Mac, but
if I can figure out where I went to partition it, then maybe I can unpartition it.
Well, I'm sure that Mac has a question and answer, but they have a help section on the computer.
Oh, yeah.
And if you put in the keyword partition or format, eventually you're going to come across the answer.
Yeah. One of the reasons it keeps me from doing things like that is if I go with format and I format it, then I lose everything that's on there. So.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, but that's why you have to have software that'll back up the respective drives, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the most important software you have to have. I have that. I have it in such a way that I got attacked by a virus a few months ago. First time ever I was attacked by a virus. It encrypted 8,000 of my files in less than 2 minutes.
No.
It was one of those ransomware things, right?
Oh, those things are horrible.
Yeah. So luckily, as it was doing that, it was making my hard drive go nuts. So I knew that something was wrong. So I turned off my my internet connection. Then I turned off the computer. So I rebooted it, and it started up again. Then I rebooted it again. This time I rebooted it to my cloning software, and I just cloned an image of my C drive back onto my C drive to eliminate every single byte that was on the C drive, including the virus. So then I rebooted. The virus was gone, but the damage was done to 8,000 files. But I had a backup drive, and it was about to attack the backup drive. It got a few files in the backup drive, but not very many. But it got 8,000 files of my primary drive. So what I had to do, I just copied and pasted the files from my secondary drive back onto my primary drive, and I got rid of those, and the 8,000 files were replaced, except for 20 files I couldn't replace. So those 20 files were gone, but out of 8,000, that's not bad. That's important to have backup. You got to have backup.
Well, I've got a thing on this computer called the Time Machine, and I guess it backs up what's on here, because it keeps doing stuff. So that's probably what it's doing. I think that's what it's supposed to be doing. So, and it puts it onto Dropbox, which I've got out in the internet, out in the cloud somewhere.
Oh, you do? So. I wouldn't trust that. I don't have anything on the internet. I have nothing on the internet. I'm not on any social media except for Blog Talk Radio.
Well, I mean, Dropbox is a thing up on the cloud, and I've got files for this show on it, but I think the backup files for this computer are on it too, and I'm the only one who can get to it. So,
well, ostensibly you're the only one, but the government, you know, if they want it, they got it. That's another reason why I don't have anything on any type of cloud mechanism whatsoever, because first off, 95% of all the servers that are being used in order to host people's internet programs and websites is owned by Amazon. 95%. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's something that I think I heard somebody, maybe it was you last week or Monday.
I said that
or,
last week, I think, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've got, like I said, I've got the files for my show on Dropbox, but I don't ever use them because I've also got them on my computer. All I have to do is just upload them to the studio from my computer, so they're all there. So I really don't use Dropbox, but I'm not really sure what's on there either. So, I think the Time Machine also is on this computer somewhere because I'll have to find out.
Well, I hope you changed the password to the show. If not, if I ever get a hankering to do a show, and if you don't have the password changed, I just might be tempted to do a show. I don't think you want that.
Why not?
Well, you know, you should really change the passwords because there are people who are lurking around on Blog Talk Radio who like to dox people, who like to follow you around and find out, you know, what you're doing so that they can aggravate you. And for security reasons, because you don't want to let just anybody into the show, because once they're into your network, they have access to all the shows. That's not a good thing.
No. Well, I think I changed the password on about once a year or something like that. It's coming up on that time when I would normally do it, so...
Well, I would advise you to assign to everybody who's a host their own separate password. That way when they leave, suppose I have somebody that they made an enemy of, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then they come in and they finagle what the password is, and they hijack that part of the show. And maybe if they're crackers, hackers, they can do some awful damage. So
yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, so I would do that because you've got a nice network. You don't want it to be fucked up because you got people out here who just have nothing better to do than to do cyber theft, cyber vandalism, things like that.
Yeah, that's true. I hadn't really thought about that, but it's wise words, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you got four or five hosts, they can have their own passwords. When they leave, you just check the, change the password for that.
Yeah.
And nobody else can have access to the other shows.
That's a good plan.
So what were you talking about before I came?
Well,
you said there's a lot of shit going on this week. There always is.
Well, essentially what I was talking about was the closing of the American journalist mind. And I got this from Freedom is Groovy. And it was great because, essentially it just started out with saying that when this person who wrote this was growing up, which was about the same thing as me too, when he was growing up, journalism was based on the five W's. And so when a particularly egregious crime was committed, newspapers and television news matters factly included descriptions of the bad guys. And then they gave three things. The first one was the shooter is described as a black male in his 20s, 5'9", 160 pounds. The second one was the rapist is described as a white male in his 40s, 6 feet tall, 200 pounds. And the third one was the kidnapper is described as a Hispanic male in his 30s, 5'8", 140 pounds. And then it went on to say, but that is all out the window today. Sticking to the five W's would blow a gaping hole in the blacks are oppressed narrative that our woke overlords are committed to. And then it gave the four ways that they have sacrificed journalistic integrity in order to protect their narrative.
Yeah, that's
and,
true.
And the first one is it's taboo to state the race of the suspect. But
yeah.
It said when a police officer shoots a black person, a police officer white, they can't refer to the officer's race enough. And number two is if the suspect of a heinous crime is black and the motive is unclear, the default explanation for his or her actions is either mental health or poverty. It's never hip-hop culture. It's never racism. It's never the anti-America and anti-white rhetoric being voiced by our woke overlords on a daily basis. And then three, when the police shoot someone under questionable circumstances, do our vaunted journalist ever refer to the epidemic of gun violence? No, they don't give agency to an inanimate object. Just said I was disconnected from the chat room. That's interesting as heck. Okay. It said, and it's kind of funny the way they ended this one. It says, if the police use their guns irresponsibly or maliciously, our vaunted journalists have no problem shouting police brutality, but when it comes to civilian brutality, our vaunted journalists never hold civilians accountable. It's always the guns' fault. Guns are running around and jumping into people's hands and going off. I thought that was funny.
Well, they always do that. They always jump in there. My hands, your hands. I don't know where these guns come from. All of a sudden, I turn around, and there it is.
Yeah, and I've given that example many times. Just put a gun on the table and watch it. See how long it takes for it to jump up and shoot somebody.
Yeah. We should all do that. We should have a seance. Five or six people just sitting around the gun watching and waiting for it to just lift itself
up
off the table.
Somebody,
yeah.
And then the fourth one was also whenever there's a police shooting, do our vaunted journalists ever refer to the incident as a traffic stop gone wrong or an arrest gone wrong? No, they don't, and for good reason. Police don't have a license to shoot someone just because that someone deviated slightly from some script that everybody supposedly knows. But our vaunted journalists have no problem describing an everyday murder as a robbery gone wrong or a home invasion gone wrong. Apparently, in the civilian world, victims have to abide by a well-known script, and if they deviate ever so slightly from it, they move too slow or make eye contact with the criminal. The criminal has no choice but to shoot. So it's really not the criminal's fault that the victim winds up in a hospital or in a grave. Those were the four reasons. And I thought, okay. But
yeah, the journalism isn't the way that it used to be. I don't ever think that it ever really was. Because remember the slap against the Hearst empire about yellow journalism and things like that? There's always been some sort of animus towards the press. Sometimes the press deserves it, sometimes the press doesn't. But definitely today there is a politically correct narrative. And, you know, it's just, it's part of the spokes of the wheel that's taking down America by design. It's doing it all on purpose just to try to bring down America, because we're the crown jewel in the tiara of the world. And they want us, and they want us to eventually give up our guns, which I hope we don't. But I also believe that they can conquer us without the guns, without taking away the guns. I think that the digital currency and the credit, the Chinese credit score, which they use over in China, which is where they'll bring over here, I think that that might do it.
Yeah, that could very well do it. But the other part of what I was talking about was the Gilliganization of America. And he went into a discussion about Gilligan on...
From Gilligan's Island?
Gilligan's Island, yes. And he had a great one here. It says, sometimes he strays from the kooky mayhem of the Bradfords on Eight Is Enough and watch either One Day at a Time or Gilligan's Island. He says, every time we watch Gilligan's Island, I marvel at the stupidity of the castaways. One castaway, Gilligan, is a complete screw-up. In every episode, he single-handedly stops the castaways from being rescued. Yet, despite this unblemished record of ineptitude, the other castaways continue to give him a pivotal role in whatever escape plan they perceive. And then it goes on to ask the question, is now a question, does this dynamic, a group of seemingly intelligent people continually putting their faith in the hands of a single boob, remind you of anything currently happening in the United States?
Well, let me see. Let me think of those initials of JB.
And it says, call me nuts, but I can't help but look at our government and see Gilligan. I can't help but look at our voters and see the rest of the castaways. Our government, regardless of level, is a bastion of ineptitude, and our voters are a bastion of delusion. They keep asking for a total screw-up to rescue them.
Well, he's definitely right about the people, because the people... And they keep repeating their stupidity, but the ineptitude that he's referring to is not ineptitude. It's to me, it's pure corruption.
It is.
What do you think? I don't think it's ineptitude. I think it's pure corruption. I think everyone who's a Republican or a Democrat has either been bought off or extorted or threatened so that they conform to what the lobbyists want and to what the Rothschilds want, in my opinion.
Yep. And if they haven't conformed, then they are in a small enough number that they can't do anything.
Yeah, well, they're corrupt to begin with. Can you imagine of the 100 senators that we have and the multitude of congressmen that we have, if they were truly honest and had balls, you know what kind of a country this would be? The New World Order wouldn't have one foothold into our country at all.
Exactly. Because everything would be the way it should be, and everyone would have the backbone to stand up and say, now wait, you can't do this. It has to be by the law. But
That's
they
right.
don't do that. It's the same thing as this whole thing with Adam Schiff, where they tried to censor him, and 20 Republicans voted not to. How the hell can they do that?
Yeah. Well,
and I did an update on this Wednesday, I think it is, that's on Rumble, and I actually named the 20 Republicans
good.
That voted for this, and I gave their
good.
State and everything. Because I felt it needed to be put out there.
Well, it does. I just wish that the American people will actually learn from their lessons, but unfortunately, we don't. And there's a small minority of us that actually do. But then again, we're not only are we fighting the corrupt politicians, but we're fighting the stupid Americans, you know, the leftists and the people who believe that something is going to come along and right the wrongs of all of the people. And everything will just work out fine. Don't worry. Don't put in any effort. Just, don't worry about it. Things will work out. And even if we hit the dark times, we'll rise like phoenix from the ashes. I don't want to rise like phoenix from the ashes. To rise like phoenix from the ashes means you were in the ashes. You were in destruction. I don't feel like being destroyed.
Yeah, I don't either. It's one of the reasons why I do this show. You know, and I've had, over the years, I've had people who just, I had this one guy who just absolutely came right out, and he says, "I hate your freaking guts." I said, "Why? You don't even know me." He says, "I just hate you. I hate what you stand for." And I said, "I stand for America." And he said, "Well, I hate what you stand for." I said, "Okay, well, then you can just go away then."
Yeah, there are people like that. Have you ever had that guy Warren on your show?
Yeah, he was. I
New
think-
Orleans. Yeah,
he was on a Monday night, I think, or
he was on our yeah okay
yeah, and I finally had to shut him down because he would not listen.
Oh, that's right. I was there. I remember. Yeah.
Yeah, he would not listen. All he kept saying was, "There's plenty of proof out there." Well, show us the proof. Don't just talk about showing us, you know, that there's proof out there. Show us what the proof is. And that's what the Democrats always do, and the liberals and the politicians always do. They say, "Well, the proof is there. Adam Schiff did it many, many times." So the proof is there, but he never showed it.
Of course not. Not only the Democrats, but the Republicans too. The conservatives
too.
I
yes.
mean, we're all guilty of that. Yeah, outside of a few of us who know that if we're going to not make a dent, because you can't make a dent in people who don't really want to learn anything new. But if you want to do something logically, you have to have proof. You have to show, this is what I believe in. You can't say, this is what I believe in, now you disprove it. I saw Sasquatch the other day. Now you disprove the fact that I saw it.
You disprove it, yeah.
Yeah, you disprove it. Are you nuts? Are you out of your fucking mind? You said you saw that fucking hairy thing. Now you prove that you saw it.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a couple of articles that I had found that I thought were really good. One of them was about George Washington's message to his disheartened soldiers and how it applies perfectly to the Trump indictment era. And I printed the thing out, but I haven't really fully read it yet. But the other one that I had found was about Dan Bongino. And he did a show a while back where he attacked Soros' family on his show as to what they were doing and how it was essentially destroying America with the way they were doing it. And right after that happened, he said a weird occurrence happened on his show, and he got a what he calls a DDoS attack, which in layman's terms means that someone tried to deny viewers access to his site. And he was off the air for a little while until he got that one figured out.
Yeah, it's a bum rush. Part of the problem is that it's a bum rush. A lot of cyber attackers will attack a server with so much force and that the server is so busy that it has to shut down. So, yeah, that's what I've heard DDoS mean. But then again, it could be any manner of cyber attack.
And, you know, most people don't really know anything about that kind of stuff. And if something happens, they just figure, well, you know, it's like when there's been a couple of nights when I did my show and nothing showed up.
Uh-huh.
And when I went back to listen to it, there was like 20 minutes of the show, and the 20 minutes were all of my recordings. Nothing else was there. And, you know, my first thought was, well, Blog Talk Radio, because I know my microphone was working, because before I do my show, I test it to make sure that it's actually working. And it was, but nothing showed up. It was not there.
Yeah.
And, Bringing a Boy said something that maybe I said something that pissed off the powers that be.
Yeah, well, of course, that's our job. We're not supposed to comply with the powers that be. We're supposed to fight against them with whatever type of power that we have in our hands.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I don't think they're going to be really concentrating on the Blog Talk Radio platform, because we're small
no,
fry.
I
we don't,
either.
You know, no.
Yeah.
YouTube, maybe, but Blog Talk Radio or Spreaker or TalkShoe, those kind of platforms, I don't think so.
Well, my, I know I used to have a site on YouTube that had my updates on it, and I think I had something like about 250 videos on there until one weekend when I said something that pissed off the powers that be, and they took it completely off. I can't even get on YouTube now unless I just want to listen to something. But if I try to go in as me, or I've even put in different email addresses and tried to join that way, and they always seem to figure out that it's me and I'm gone again. So,
yeah.
And it's been about a year and a half since they knocked me off of there. And that's when I turned to Rumble and BitChute and started doing it on those things instead of on YouTube, because I was doing it on YouTube because I could get it and send it straight to YouTube and have YouTube conform it to what I wanted it to be, and then I could bring it back to my computer and put it wherever I wanted. And then I figured out how to set it into an MP4 that I could actually use, and that's, you know, so it didn't matter anymore. But there for a while, it just really threw me for a loop, because I couldn't get on YouTube. I couldn't put my stuff out. And I was doing live stuff on Facebook there for a while because that was the only way I could do it.
I'm surprised Facebook hasn't banned you, because Facebook and Google are in a collaboration with each other.
Oh, they've done it several times.
Oh, they have?
Oh, you've been knocked off for 24 hours. That's okay, fine.
That's why I tell people, get off of Facebook, get off of Twitter, get off of YouTube, get your own site, and get traffic over to your own site. But then again, I learned that Amazon owns 95% of the servers. If a person finds out which server is not owned by Amazon, that could be a great help for that person, like say for yourself or anybody else who wants to have a following. You know, because then you're not dependent about it. You can always redirect from Blog Talk Radio to your site or from any other social media to your site, but they don't have control over your site. They can't, they can't eliminate it.
Yeah, and that's pretty much why I started doing, like, my daily updates. I do them completely on this computer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll record them onto from a Canon movie camera that I have. And then I take it from the disk and put it on my computer and put it into iMovie and take out all the uhs and the mistakes that I do.
That's a lot of work, Bob.
It is.
Why don't you?
And I do it every day.
Are you talking about the Blog Talk Radio?
No, huh? Blog Talk Radio is live. That one, if I make a mistake, I make a mistake, it's there. But like on my daily updates, those are kind of like a Rush Limbaugh type thing, but they're not 3 minutes like his were. Mine are like about anywhere from 6 to 10 minutes long.
Okay.
And I discuss what's going on during the day. And I have it all set up, so all I have to do is just I've got an entrance and an exit on it, and then all I have to do is take the part that I did the day before, take it out of there, and drop the new one in, and then edit it. So it's not really that bad, but after I get it through and then upload it to my computer so it's all one piece, I put it onto Rumble and BitChute.
Okay, now what platform are you transmitting from?
Blog Talk Radio, as far as I know.
No, I mean your updates.
Oh. I'm not sure what you mean by that, but I just record them.
Yeah,
but
what platform?
What
website? Or, you know, like you're transmitting right now from Blog Talk Radio because you're using their platform. So when you transmit your updates, what particular platform are you on?
Well, when I finish, they're on Rumble and BitChute.
Do you go to Rumble and BitChute to do the updates, or how do you
do
it?
No, I load them from my computer to Rumble and BitChute, and then they're there.
Oh, so in other words, you just do it at home, and then you upload them. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I do them right here in my studio.
Oh, okay.
That I've got in my apartment, and I have studio lights in here so that I can do the video part because the daily things are video.
Uh huh. So you video yourself then?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, and then after I get everything corrected and put together so that it's good, then I upload it from iMovie, which is what I do it on. I upload it from there to my computer, and when it shows up on my computer, then I can go ahead and upload it to Rumble and BitChute and wherever else I want to decide to try it.
Oh, all right. Okay. So the simple answer is that you just do it on your computer, and then when you're finished, then you upload it to Rumble and BitChute. Yeah. You should tell people everybody who comes to your show, you should tell them, get the fuck off of YouTube. Get the fuck off of Facebook. Just go to Rumble. Go to Gab, you know?
Mm-hmm.
People
there for
still
a while
on Twitter.
I'll put my show, actually, when it finishes, it gives me a chance to upload it to several things, and I'll upload it to my page on Facebook and on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah,
it's on
both.
You don't
have to worry. You don't have to worry because since your update is originated on your computer, they can tear you down. They can eliminate you anytime they want, but you still have a copy.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and I've got them all. That's probably what's giving my computer fits right now because they're all on my computer.
Yeah, but 10 minutes worth a day, let me see. You shouldn't really, when you videotape it, you've got an MP4 file. You probably have it in 1080 high dimension, high definition. You can actually, you should actually do it in 360 so that it's not grainy and it's a small footprint.
Yeah. Well, I was doing it at 720 for a while.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need that kind of resolution. Yeah.
Mm-mm. But it's just something I've been doing for, oh gosh, six years now. And I enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. There's like this last Wednesday, I had a eye appointment to have my eye that I had surgery on fixed up, checked again. And so I didn't do one on Wednesday, but on Tuesday and Thursday I did. And on Monday I did so, but usually I do them Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and then on Friday I do my show.
Right.
So.
Are you only doing it on Fridays? Is just once a week on Fridays?
Well, I've thought about doing it several times a week, but I just really, I did it for a while, and there was just so much work that there was not much else I could do. Because I was doing 2 hours for each show.
Yeah, you don't need 2 hours for each show if you're going to do it twice a week. Plus, if you do it twice a week, you're
you're granting yourself more exposure for people who are driving by to find shows. And if you do it for 1 hour, again, you go into the bonus hour, you actually have 2 hours. So, you know, I would do it that way. If you really wanted to do it twice a week, you would save yourself time and energy, and it would be easier for you to maintain.
Yeah, one of the reasons why I never did that is because when I first started this, there was really not that much news out there. There was enough to do a show, and I had to collect the news all week long. Now I can start. Now I can start collecting the news 2 hours before the show, and I've got it. There's just so much happening out there right now that it's really simple to do a 2 hour show.
Yeah. If you do it that way, especially with the kind of news environment we're in today, Prior to the pandemic, I enjoyed being on talk shows because everybody was talking about what the current events was, and everybody had an opinion, and there wasn't any real imminent death, you know, coming our way. But now, since the pandemic, you know, we've got to really look to the future and realize that we're in deep shit.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I can't get the, like right now, the chat room is completely shut down. I'm not sure what the heck is going on with it. And I've been trying to get it to come back up, but it just won't do it.
All right. Well, I'm going to let you go, Bob. Okay.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling in.
Sure. You have enjoy the rest of your night and your weekend, okay?
Well, I plan to. I'm going to have a good weekend this weekend, I hope.
There you go. All right, take it easy. Bye-bye.
Okay, have a good night. Bye-bye. Okay, we are back. We got to do I've been wanting to do advertisements here because we've got a couple here that are actually needed for around here in Albuquerque, but we will be right back.
Reeling in the Years reminds us that we will be right back after these important messages with more of the Voice of Reason on NWCR Radio. Many of our veterans deal with significant personal issues on a daily basis. These can include any combination of combat-related, medical, or psychological issues, as well as stress from transitioning out of a highly structured environment. It is our hope that through our familiarity with these struggles, we can use our experiences and connections to help these vets move forward in a positive direction and enjoy a fulfilled life. Our vision is to put an end to homelessness and suicide that seems to be prevalent among our veterans. Our mission is to remember, honor, and serve our veterans and their families. Who we are is warriors serving warriors, and we are comprised of veterans of our U.S. military with a variety of backgrounds and professions. Although we are a veterans group of Legacy Church here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, we accept vets from other churches and denominations. What we do is actively seek veterans who would like to be a part of our elite Christian group and share our desires to help and equip other veterans who are in need of assistance. We help other veterans who are in need of assistance with their transition to civilian life or have spiritual, physical, or emotional needs. We are currently proudly serving veterans in the Albuquerque metro area with future plans of expanding throughout the whole state of New Mexico. We meet every month to execute and strategically plan to reach our veteran community with the slogan, No Man Left Behind, giving them direction and or referring them to someone that can help them better their lives. If you know someone or are a vet yourselves, give us a call at 505-302-1999 or go to warriorservingwarriors.org. You can also email us at wswnmvets@gmail.com. That's Warriors Serving Warriors. Give us a call or join today.
Color Only Day here on CNM with our very own Vincent Brown out of Durham, North Carolina. Black by Color Only is one of the most informative shows on CNM, giving us the reasons that the apostles of blackness are leading this nation in the wrong direction, along with the left. And Vincent will come down on the right too when they do not do what is right. Listen to the wisdom of Vincent Brown on Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will find out that the media is lying to us too, along with the leftists in our government. Some of the right are too, and in Hollywood also. He will make you use your mind and think a bit before making a rash judgment. That is Black by Color Only, only on CNM at 5 p.m. Eastern on Saturdays, where America always wins.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show with your host, Robert Garding. This is Kathy Henner's A Daily Roll Call, and we need more voices like Robert who aren't afraid of the wrath of the left, even when the truth is told and it doesn't fit their agenda. Now, with Biden in charge, this is more imperative than ever. From New Mexico in CNN's Freedom Studio comes the second hour of the show. And now, here again is Robert.
Okay, we are back. I've got Bringing It Boy in the chat room. He said hello. I cannot speak in the chat room. It's shut down for me. I see Conservative Nation Media came in there, so I'm not sure which one that is. But if they can hear me, then I cannot answer in the chat room. So if you say anything to me, I'll probably say it, you know, back to you through the microphone. But hello, Ron. Good to see you there. I found a article. This one was also from Freedom is Groovy. Talks about the myth of transitioning from one sex to another. Hey, Ron. In the movie The Fly, the character Seth Rundle was a legitimate transfly. at the beginning of the movie, as a result of a horrible mishap, he began transitioning from a human to a fly. At the end of the movie, the transition was complete. He was a fly. His human hair, teeth, and organs were all gone. He didn't need surgery to give him fly eyes or fly feet with ceiling walking powers. And he certainly didn't need periodic injections of fly hormones to remain a fly. The above transitioning was far-fetched, of course. It was science fiction. But it does depict the fundamental feature of the transitioning process. You eventually become what you are transitioning to. The transitioning stops, and you not only possess all of the core features and external help and capabilities of whatever you transition to, but you also no longer need any external help, if external help were needed in the first place, to remain whatever you transition to. You are no different from the real thing, both outwardly and inwardly. Just off the top of my head, I can think of only two things that human beings are capable of transitioning to on the biological front. Human beings can transition from a child to an adult. And on the career front, human beings can transition from non-professional to professional. Boys and girls around 12 are trans adults. Their bodies are transitioning from adolescenthood to adulthood. And by the time they're around 18, the transitioning is over and they are men and women with all the core features and capabilities of men and women. Everyone in law school is a trans attorney. Their minds are transitioning from legal neophytes to legal beagles. And once they complete law school and pass the bar, the transitioning is over, and they are attorneys with all the core features and capabilities of attorneys. But can human beings transition from one sex to another? I don't think so. But you tell me. If a man truly transitions to a woman, for instance, he should have all the core features and capabilities of a woman. He still needs a cure for liberalism, that's for sure. How then do 18 to 45-year-old trans women stack up against 18 to 45-year-old biological women? Here's the skinny. Talking about the features and capability. Breasts. An active unatrophied mammary glands, percentage of 18 to 45-year-old biological women, 100%. Percentage of 18 to 45-year-old trans women, 0. Breasts that can lactate enough to feed a baby, 98% of the biological women can. 0% of 18 to 45-year-old trans women cannot. Or can. So none can. Ovaries. 100% of biological women have them, but 0% of trans women have them. Egg-producing ovaries. 95 to 97% of biological women have egg-producing ovaries. 0% of trans women do. Estrogen-producing ovaries. 100% of biological women do, 0% of trans women do. Uterus, 100% of biological women have them, 0% of trans women have them. A uterus, 100% of biological women have them, 0% of trans women have them. The vagina, 100% of biological women have them, 5 to 13% of trans women do. And those are only the ones that have gone through the whole thing and went through the whole sex change thing. Lubricant-producing vagina to reduce friction during intercourse, 100% of biological women do, 0% of trans women do. Lactobacilli-friendly vagina to keep it slightly acidic to protect it from disease-causing microorganisms. 100% of women, biological women, have that. 0% of trans women have that. And it keeps going on. Fertility. Biological women, once menstruation starts, fertility declines with age. Trans women, no menstruation, no cycles, 0% of pregnancy. 25% of the pregnancy per cycle for 25-year-olds for biological women. 20% of pregnancy per cycle for 30-year-olds for biological women. 15% of pregnancy per cycle for 35-year-olds biological women. 5% chance of pregnancy per cycle for 40-year-olds. 0 for trans women. Trans women don't stack up very well. In fact, the transitioning process is a joke. No trans woman has ever obtained the core features and capabilities of a real woman. At best, trans women obtain the appearance of a real woman, and then even there, I'm being generous. Some trans women have beautifully feminine faces and shapes, Blair White, for instance, but most Caitlyn Jenner, Rachel Levine, and the notorious It Is Ma'am guy. I'm not saying most trans women are ugly. I'm just saying surgeons and big pharma have a real hard time replicating feminine beauty. And if you went under the hood and got a good look at the results of either breast augmentation or vaginoplasty, you would surely agree. And then a quick aside, trans men don't do well on the appearance front either. Surgeons and big pharma have an even harder time replicating masculine beauty. And if you went under the hood and take a good look at the results of either a full mastectomy or phalloplasty, you'd be horrified. Another key indicator that someone has successfully transitioned from one thing to another is that the transitioning stops. Men and women who have transitioned from adolescenthood to adulthood don't have to do anything to maintain adulthood, even though a lot of them don't act like they are adults. Their bodies naturally produce all the hormones they need to remain adult men and women. And attorneys who have been transitioned from non-attorneys to attorneys don't have to do anything to remain attorneys. There's no need for them to be continually taking law school courses and bar exams. Now a question, do men who transition to women and women who transition to men ever stop transitioning? As far as I can tell, the answer is no. A trans woman who stops taking estrogen and androgens remains his lost male qualities. He starts growing facial hair again, his muscle mass returns, and his ED disappears. All the same holds true for trans men. A trans man who stops taking testosterone and GnRH and agonists regain her lost feminine qualities. This is why people who transition can detransition. They never really transitioned in the first place. If under the hood isn't what you expected, you're in trouble. That is for sure. That's one of the things that makes it so you don't really want to fool around with anybody anymore, because you never know what's going on under the hood there. And it goes on to say, no, my problem is actually with the woke elites promoting transgenderism. They're reality phobes. They're doing everything they can to erode this country's grip on reality. And no country that has lost its grip on reality can ever hope to be healthy, wealthy, and wise and free. Furthermore, they're bullies. Our woke elites are perfectly okay with destroying socially and professionally anyone who refuses to submit to the fantasy that co's men and co's women are real men and women. Just ponder how evil that is. For instance, believe in the Christian God. I, for instance, believe in the Christian God. I can't prove the Christian God exists. The Christian God is thus a fantasy, and I would never in a million years want to destroy socially and professionally any atheist who refuses to submit to my fantasy. I'm just not a sick, demented asshole. I have no compunction to bully those who don't share my beliefs. Okay, groovy freedomist, that's all I got. Let me know what you think about my take on transgenderism when you get a chance. And that's from Freedom is Groovy. I thought that was a pretty awesome site. But one of the things that I had found and was an op-ed that was in Western Journal this week, and it talked about George Washington's message to his disheartened soldiers in that winter and how it applies perfectly to the Trump indictment era. It says, former President Donald Trump delivers remarks at the National Trump Golf Club on Tuesday in Bedminster, New Jersey. It's no accident that America's previous president was indicted the same day Congress disclosed evidence of the current office holder's corruption. Nor is it by chance that the former was charged under the Espionage Act to frame him as disloyal to the United States. And while the latter is alleged to have accepted a $5 million bribe. Even more troubling is the fact that the federal law enforcement's efforts to cover for the man now occupying the White House by implicating his predecessor is setting the country on a course for conflict. Americans have never seen anything like what is now unfolding before us. The recent allegations of rank corruption are astonishing. For more than 6 years, the Justice Department and the FBI have been hiding evidence implicating Joe Biden and his son Hunter in a criminal enterprise to leverage the former vice president's position to pry money from foreign officials and enterprises. Instead of bringing Biden to justice, federal law enforcement authorities have spent that time carrying out an unlawful campaign to frame Donald Trump as a foreign agent. And thus, for the first time in our history, a former president and front runner for the 2024 Republican nomination has been indicted on federal charges. And they're rather weak federal charges, too. I've looked at them, and hello, think for yourself. I don't have any way to say anything in the chat room, so if you're there and you can hear me, this is the way I have to speak because my chat room isn't working for me tonight. What would our founding fathers have made of it? How would those who built the pillars of our nation look on the current heirs of the Constitution? The founders were scholars and men of worldly wisdom who understood human nature in all its manifestations from high to low. How man has the capacity to make the noblest sacrifice on behalf of his countrymen and plot the most vicious conspiracy against them. Knowing that all men seek power, the framers of the Constitution built a system of checks and balances to deter any one institution, any one man, from becoming too powerful. What would they say today when it seems all our once seemingly solid institutions have melted and behind the marble facades are nothing but vulgar schemes, to satisfy the coarse ambitions of cruel and mendacious men and women? What is our defense when those tasked with enforcing the supreme law of the land lay siege to the Constitution and satisfy their appetite for power? These are trying times. General George Washington, these are the times that try men's souls, wrote Thomas Paine. The famous opening words of his pamphlet, The American Crisis, were first published at Christmas time in 1776 when victory in the fight over tyranny seemed uncertain. General George Washington's troops were disheartened, and he had Paine's words read aloud for his men to fortify their courage. He said, "The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands by it now deserves the love and thanks of men and women. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered, yet we have the consolation with us that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. What we obtain too cheap, we esteem too lightly. It is dearness only that gives everything its value. Heaven knows how to put a proper price upon its goods, and it should be strange indeed if so celestial an article as freedom should not be highly rated." Paine's message to us today is this: in truth, it is we who are the pillars of the Republic, freeborn men and women who revere God, the foundation on which our country was built. It is for whom the laws were made, the institutions were created, and it is we who are now being called to defend our country, our families, our communities from tyranny. These are meaningful times that try men's souls. We will stand, we will fight, and we will win. The problem that I see in that is that today, most people just want to live their lives. They don't care what's going on over the hill. They don't care what's going on in Washington, D.C. They don't care what's going on in Santa Fe or Sacramento or Denver or any of these other places. They don't care. They want to live their lives and not be told how to live their lives. But the problem is that they're allowing the government to tell them how to live their lives. Here in New Mexico, we have a governor who has decided for herself that she's the supreme leader of this state and nobody can go against what she says. She's finding out that that's totally wrong. There are people who are going against her in this state. Even though you never hear about it in the news, you never hear about it in the media, it is happening. In Arizona, it's happening. In Texas, it's happening. Even in Colorado and even in the liberal state of California, it's happening. But you won't hear about it in the media. You won't hear about it in the news. Why? Because the media has their own agenda. They don't care what is going on. They don't want to care what is going on. And the people haven't been doing anything to stop it. And that is where we have to start doing our part. Because we as Americans are essentially the bosses of the government. We haven't wielded that power for so long now that the government thinks they're the ones who are in charge. And it's going to take a lot to get that feeling right out of them, because they've had that feeling for well on 100 years now, if not more. And when the people start to rise up against them, then they start to think of ways to stop the people from rising up against them. And as long as the people stop when the government says to stop, that just pushes the idea that, yep, they're in charge. One of the reasons I do this show, I don't reach that many people. There are people who listen to this show. There are probably more right now than have ever listened to this show. Listen to it. And my listenership is growing. It's just like Brother Warren from New Orleans Wake Up said that he's talking about all this liberal stuff and his audience is growing. Well, of course it's growing because he's saying things that the people who want to destroy this country want to hear. But there is the other side, and the other side is constantly being shut down, folks, and we have got to stop allowing that to happen. We'll be right back. We will be right back. Well, in the storm of any unplanned event, it is always best to gather all the information you can before planning your route. That is where CareNet Pregnancy Centers of Albuquerque come in. Our services include pregnancy testing, ultrasounds, STI testing, education, and after-abortion care. What most people do not realize is this. Men are involved in this, too. A large percentage of all abortions are perpetuated by the father of the baby. And we have female and male advocates at each center to meet and talk with those who come to our centers with questions. You can contact any of our centers here in Albuquerque for further information. There are two, with our Northeast office at 505-880-0862 and our Southwest office at 505-360-0090. Outside of Albuquerque are Edgewood at 505-281-5408, Rio Rancho at 505-896-2305, and Los Lunas also at 505-565-3838. That's CareNet of Albuquerque, where help is always there for those storms that are always just around the corner. For the past few months, we have not heard from our good friend and mentor, our very own Uncle Bing Fisher, but he has been around, though very busy, starting businesses and trying to get things going where he is. So his show has been put on hiatus for now, but in the coming month or so, we are looking to see him return to CNM as he is about to retire and will give him more time to let us know all the things that he has a good ear for hearing. Bing's mellow voice and his expertise in engineering, along with his love of America, keeps us all informed as to what we should be doing and why the things are happening here in America as they are. The only side that seems to have consequences anymore are the right. The left can do anything they want, then blame it on the right, and always laying the blame where it shouldn't be, and they always get away with it. This has to stop. Listen to our very own Uncle Bing Fisher when American by Design returns soon on Sundays, where America always wins. I was looking through Breitbart News and found a bunch of stuff here that goes from Riley Gaines, who was put out of being a winner by a trans man. There's all kinds of stuff here tonight. You know, Pete Buttigieg, Trump. Everything that I could possibly think of. The main headline was talking about children and saving our children, which is something that we need to start thinking about, because what is going on in this country right now is we have the left who is grooming our children to be exactly what they want our children to be. This is not a good thing. They have found out that their I was listening to a thing on Newsmax today. They were talking about how much better private schools are doing in teaching our children than public schools are. And yet, just like Gilligan, we keep pushing our kids into the public schools. Not something that if I had children today that were school age, they would be put through Legacy Academy here in Albuquerque, or I would find a private school for them. It's a little more expensive. But also, my wife used to homeschool her oldest son. She could probably do that again. But either way, it would be much better than sending them to the public schools, which seem to be having less and less effects on teaching the children what they should be taught, reading, writing, and arithmetic. They're teaching their children how to be another sex if they want to. They're teaching our children that there are 57 sexes, maybe more. Who knows? Those are things that shouldn't even be in school. When I was in school, all we did was we learned reading, writing, and arithmetic, had gym classes, and then we went home and played. We didn't think about the stuff kids today do. No wonder they're so confused. No wonder they're not right in the head anymore, because the government is constantly pushing agendas on them that they shouldn't have to even worry about yet. Starting at 9, 10 years old. When I was 9 or 10 years old, my big thing was to go out in the evening after school and play with the neighborhood kids, play football or hide and seek or something. That was my idea of having fun. Today, they don't know what it means to have fun, because everything that was fun for us has been told to them that, oh, that'll hurt you. That's not good for you. And why this is being allowed is beyond me. We have parents who will go to school board meetings and then get arrested for being there for saying they didn't like what their children were being taught. While the parents are being told that when the school kids are in school, they're not their kids anymore. They are the school's kids. No, I don't think so. That would not go in my household. If we had a school where we had a child that was in that school that was teaching them those kind of things, I'd pull them out of school so quick that their heads would spin. And bringing up voices, you think they still do jock checks in PE? Yeah, probably. But not in the way they did it when we were kids. But what we have here, I think that what's going on today, is we have exactly what started a song some years ago. What we have here is a failure to communicate. Whatever we on the right or whatever parents decide that they want for their kids, that's not good enough. According to the teachers, according to the school board, who will arrest parents for speaking out. And yet, this kind of thing continues, especially in states like California and New Mexico and New York, Michigan, and even in places in Texas where liberals run the show. There are a few of them there. And even in Florida, there are a few counties there that are not run by conservatives. They're not run by Republicans. They're run by Democrats. And the thing that makes me really wonder what the mentality of this country is when all the proof comes out about what Biden or the Democrats are doing to this country, what Fauci did during the plandemic, they're still all out. They should be in prison for what they've done. Hillary Clinton should be in prison for what she did. Biden should be in prison. Hunter Biden should be in prison. Fauci should be in prison. But they're not, and they probably will never be. They'll get their comeuppances when they die and face judgment. But they think that'll be the end of it. No, it won't. That's just the beginning. And even if then they say, wow, I shouldn't have done what I did, it's too late. I really don't know. I've got people in the chat room. I cannot talk to them. I cannot. My chat room is shut down to me. I do not know. There is a Conservative Nation media in there. Don't know if it's me. If it is, I can't speak. I could probably reload this page and see what happens. But I don't know. But we... Corn Pop. Yeah, Corn Pop should be imprisoned. Oh, yeah. I forgot about Corn Pop. He's a bad dude. But I kind of had a feeling that I wouldn't see Sarge tonight or Joseph or Bianchi tonight because I was here on Monday. Usually I'm not here twice a week, but I'm thinking, you know, because Joe from Montana, when he called in earlier, he mentioned doing a one-hour show, and if it happens to go into the second hour, then you get a two-hour show out of it, but doing it twice a week. I used to do that. I think I used to do a show on Wednesday night and a show on Saturday night. Yeah, I know. My name is on the chat list room, on the chat list in the room, but I can't speak to anybody there. It's like the room is shut off to me, but I can't type anything in there. It just doesn't work. So I'm not really sure what's going on, but at least my microphone's working, so that's a good thing. But I don't know, this whole idea that America is working towards socialism is something that should set every patriotic American on their ear. It should stop. We should rise up and stop all this, but we're not. And I really can't understand why not. We're supposed to love this country. We're supposed to revere America above Iran and Iraq and all these other countries out there. But it seems like our president only cares for the other countries. When it comes to us, he doesn't care at all. And it's like he had said to that reporter who asked him about being corrupt and everything, you know, Joe Biden, in his typical stupid way, says, why would you ask such a stupid question? Well, it's just like that thing that I played from Eric Bolling the other night. No question is stupid. But according to President Biden, it is if it goes against his agenda, which that one did. And he's actually getting more and more questions like that from the lamestream lying liberal media. Some of them are starting to wake up. this is awesome. At least, you know, and I'm watching all of this happening. Yeah, he fooled 1 million people. Well, I'm not sure if he fooled them. Well, maybe a million, yeah. But there are a lot of people he didn't. And this whole thing's got to stop. We'll be right back after these messages.
I will remain as long as you do to bring you the news of the day. We will be right back. If you have a show that you are looking to get on the air on a network, CNM is looking for you. Give us a call at 505-317-8741 or email us at conservativenationmedia, all one word, 2017@gmail.com. Send us a short MP3 giving us a sample of what you would sound like, the day you want to be on, and the time you want to air your show, and we will do the rest. CNM is a talk radio network with a conservative bent, and we love America, her constitution, her laws, and we support our boys in blue and our military too. Come join us and get yourself on the air. The days we have available for new shows is Monday through Thursday, where we have no shows, and we can accommodate one show more on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. Give us a call and see if we can get your show on the air on CNM. And see what happens then, where America always wins. High in the Sky Drone Services, located in Albuquerque, New Mexico, is your one-stop shop for drone photography from a perspective that for a company was hard to get before without endangering the health of your employees. Get aerial photography easy with Eye in the Sky Drone Services at 505-317-8741 and rest easy in your decision.
Segment of the show. Last week I did my show was 3 hours and 7 minutes long. I finally figured out after I close out that third hour and go into the fourth hour, everything in the chat room shuts down, everything in my audio file shut down. Everything in the chat room or in the studio shuts down. And I've been trying to figure out how I can stop the show after that. I just figured it out. I don't know why I didn't think about it before, but there is when I call in, I have to click on the dial part to bring me in. Well, that's always sitting there. And there's an end call button, which end the show at any time I wanted to that way. But for some reason, I just never thought about that because my computer has the other things that I've got on it going. I listen, you know, I have the chat room open. I have everything covering it up, so I don't really see it. But one of the things that I thought was just absolutely horrendous was the Dodger Stadium in LA having their Pride Night celebration. And the headlines in Breitbart says, save our children. Thousands block the entrance to Dodger Stadium to protest Pride Night celebration. Obscene Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence were honored there. And this is sick, folks. But it says thousands of Catholics demonstrated gathered outside Dodger Stadium on today to protest the team's Pride Night celebration, where they plan to honor the anti-Catholic group, the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. And it wasn't long before the crowd of protesters grew so large that they blocked one of the major entrances to the stadium, which is great. The Dodgers' 10th annual Pride Night celebration will honor the anti-Catholic drag queen group with its Community Hero Award Friday night during the game against the visiting San Francisco Giants. The Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence are a leading edge order of queer and trans nuns, or nuts, according to the organization's website. After receiving backlash from the religious groups, the Dodgers rescinded an invitation to the radical anti-Christian organization. However, the Dodgers walked back its decision and announced that the drag queen group will be re-invited to the team's Pride Night. The Dodgers offered its sincerest apologies to the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, which are a bunch of guys anyway, members of the LGBTQ+ 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 community cult and their friends and families in a statement issued after the announcement. A full apology is what, here's what it said. It said, a full apology and explanation was given to us by the Dodger staff, which we accepted, the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence said in a statement. We believe the apology is sincere because the Dodgers have worked for 10 years with our community, and as well as they have asked us to continue an ongoing relationship with them. A crowd of reportedly more than 1,000 protesters gathered outside the stadium hours before the game started to protest the team's decision to honor the anti-Catholic group. The crowd could be heard saying, Jesus, I trust in you, according to a video uploaded to Twitter by Turning Point USA reporter Savannah Hernandez. Jack Posobiec led the crowd in a Latin prayer as the demonstrators gathered. At one point, a Jewish rabbi took the stage to stand in solidarity with the Catholic protesters. If you are anti-Catholic, you are anti-religion, you're anti-God. I got a problem with that, the rabbi said. Other videos showed the Catholic demonstrators singing and praying in the parking lots of the Dodger Stadium. The crowd reportedly cheered after one speaker declared that Catholics are in a spiritual battle. The Dodgers' celebration of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence comes 1 week after the California State Legislature also honored the group. Former Representative Tulsi Gabbard criticized the Dodgers and the California Legislature for honoring the anti-Catholic drag queen group. So tonight is the night that the obscene Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence are going to be honored and celebrated by the LA Dodgers, Gabbard said in a video uploaded to Twitter on Friday. So my question is this, why should the LA Dodgers and the state legislators be proud to honor and celebrate this group whose literal claim to fame is their offensive anti-Catholic and anti-Christian religious bigotry? Gabbard's video showed footage of a dancer using a crucifix with an individual depicting Jesus Christ attached to a stripper pole. Now is the time that we all need to denounce this hate, to denounce this bigotry, no matter what your religion is, if you follow no religion at all, Gabbard concluded. And folks, this is where America is starting to fall apart. And bringing it, boys, as Dodgers suck anyways, they can't beat the Yankees, which is probably very true. And he says there's a lot That's a lot of the Hispanic people changing their ways too. And that is so true. But we're coming up on the end of the show now. We've got about four more minutes or three more minutes left now, or actually five. I was wrong. But one of the things that I wanted to mention here, and I saw this with a picture of Biden going up the steps to Air Force One. It says, history repeating itself. Major American enemy puts bases in Cuba, 17 Latin American countries. Remember the Cuban missile crisis? Well, as undoubtedly China works to destroy the U.S. from within, its communist masters are working externally against the American interest, joining with other countries to undermine the dollar, threatening Panama Canal passage, and establishing a strategic installation in nearby Cuba. It's Cold War 2.0. Chinese show more stealth than the Soviets and have a sophistication that demonstrates they're playing the long game. Meanwhile, the Biden administration is focused on the dangers of white supremacy, the evil orange man, violent parents of school children, which I talked about, Russian assets like Tucker Carlson, and the woes of transgender suppression. Where are the adults in all of this? The 1960s race to the moon was less about scientific exploration than it was about national prestige. Nations wondering which superpower will sidle up to the U.S. and its Western allies, or Russia and its satellite and allies like China, would judge which side was better, was a better bet. Put a man on the moon and you'd be considered a power to hitch your wagon to. In some respects, China is playing a similar game as it unites with countries with economies well along the path to full development according to modern diplomacy. The countries are lumped together under the acronym of BRICS, which means Brazil, Russia, India, China, and also including South Africa. Their joint efforts will increase their gross domestic product at an expense and at the expense of that of the U.S., modern diplomacy said. Worse, more than 30 countries want to join BRICS. Even worse than that, at a summit in South Africa later in 2023, BRICS hopes to replace the U.S. dollar with a new common currency. Imagine that. Countries moving out of third world status, seriously challenging the prestige of the United States, which itself is moving toward third worldism. Consider censorship, criminally charging political opponents, rogue federal police, and addressing the nation in front of a blood-red military-guarded background. Some countries and regions are already moving away from the dollar, according to geopolitical economy. Russia and China are using their own currencies for trade. China and Brazil have dropped the dollar in their trade using a French intermediary. United Arab Emirates is receiving payment for gas exports to China in yuan. Countries in Southeast Asia are substituting local payment methods for the dollar, and Kenya is using its own currency to buy Middle Eastern oil. There's more. It was recently learned that in 2019, China planted a spy station in Cuba, right out of the Soviet playbook in 1962, except then the Russians were doing more than listening. They were tooling up to have missiles able to reach Washington in just a few minutes. There's no reports of China doing that yet, but besides spying from Cuba, China is developing choke points against U.S. shipping, according to U.S. Commander in the United States Southern Command, General Laurel Richardson. Among those checkpoints is the Panama Canal. People, we've got a problem here. And if we don't do something about this, it's going to go bad for us. We will be back next week. Starting on Monday, I'll be doing my updates again. So I'll see you then. God bless you. Have a great weekend, and I'll talk to you next week. Thank you, Brenda, for being there. We'll be back next week with the next episode of NWCR Radio, where we work hard to let you know what America has in store and what the Constitution and our laws have to say about it. Stay tuned. Wife had given me earlier today. I was going to put it on the show, and I'll do it here at the end. It talks about God's work. And it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And that's from Romans 8, verse 14. It says, the first key for usefulness in God's kingdom is humility. Pride cuts us off from God and from other people, and deceives us into thinking we can do God's work without God's power. When we rely on the Holy Spirit, however, he sanctifies us and empowers us so that we can be effective tools in God's hands. But there is a second key, and that is faith. Faith that God is sovereign and that he is at work, even if we can't see it. Habakkuk complained to God that evil people were winning the day. But God replied, I will work a work in your days which you would not believe though it were told to you. And that's about Habakkuk 1:5. God is at work even in the midst of problems, pessimism and frustrations of our day. He alone is sovereign, and that is why we can trust him even when the way seems dark. Thank you all for listening tonight, and God bless you all. Have a great weekend.